When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of The Kids Are All Right.
Hey, Bug.
Don't be back late.
I know.
Come give us a hug before you go.
Hugs.
Hug her. That's what she's there for.
Have you thought any more about making that call?
That could really hurt Mom's feelings.
How can you not even be curious about it?
Each of my moms had a kid with your sperm.
Like in both of them.
Uh-huh, like in gay.
Right on.
Cool, I love lesbians.
All right, everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for The Kids Are All Right, and the story is as follows. Lesbian couple Nick and Jules have been together for 20 years, bringing up two children thanks to the contributions of an anonymous sperm donor. As 18-year-old daughter Joni prepares to leave for college, she and younger brother Laser get curious about their heritage. Making contact with Paul, the laid-back restauranter whose sperm bank deposit helped bring them into the world, the two set off a chain reaction. The film is starring Annette Bening, Julianne Moore, Mark Ruffalo, Mia Wasikowska, and Josh Hutcherson. Here to join me today for this Patreon Throwback Podcast review for 2010, I have Josh Parham.
Hello, hello.
Dan Baer.
I love lesbians.
And also joining us as a guest here from our Patreon NBP film community, we have Jack Greenwood, everybody.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Nah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for volunteering to be here. I have not seen this film in 14 years since it theatrically released in the summer of 2010. It was a movie that had its world premiere, though, at the Sundance Film Festival. Lisa Cholodenko is a filmmaker who, over the years, especially in the aftermath of this film, I've been begging to see another theatrical release from her. But she had quite a career prior to this with films such as High Art, Laurel Canyon, Cave Dweller. And she's been working on television pretty much ever since, doing episodes of Olive Kittredge, Unbelievable, The Girl from Plainville. And so with this movie, though, you know, you had a lot of powerhouse actors coming together for this film. And I remember, too, and someone could tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I also remember, you know, back in this time, 14 years ago, seeing lesbians portrayed on screen in a non-teen sex comedy sort of way, but more like in a just a very serious manner. It's one thing for that to be an indie film that is either not distributed or gets very little distribution and just kind of flies under the radar. But this ended up becoming a Best Picture nominee. It was a modest box office success. Well, actually, compared to its budget, a pretty big success, I would say, actually, grossing nearly over $30 million against its budget. So I feel like, in a way, this is a film that really did help, I think, ease into the conversation more, that lesbians are more than just a punchline. They are more than just something to laugh at in, you know, an American Pie movie, for example. And these are stories about real people that are taken seriously and are relatable and is something that everybody can learn something from here. And so in talking about this movie and revisiting it all this time later, I'm curious to know how it holds up for you all. Not just based within the context of 2010, but then also, too, for today. So starting off first with Dan Baer. Dan, what did you think of The Kids Are All Right?
I remember seeing this in 2010 and liking it, not loving it. but was very much here for all of the critical love and awards love that it got at the end of the year. Watching it now, it is the most 2010 movie that I can think of.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, very specifically 2010. It's really kind of amazing. It fully took me right back to the first Obama term and, you know, this feeling of wide open spaces and futures for this country and for all the people in it, and this kind of almost utopian world where it is about queer people and their queerness is important to the story, but it's not necessarily a queer story specifically. The fact that Nick and Jules, the characters played by Nat Benning and Julianne Moore in this, are lesbians is inextricable from the story, but it's not about them being lesbians. It's about them being parents. And that, strangely, still kind of feels a little radical, although less radical than it did at the time. What hasn't aged quite as well is Benning and Moore's casting, especially since the movie does not wait very long to call out the fact that so often in movies they just end up casting straight actresses in the roles of lesbians and the inauthenticity just radiates off the screen. But of course, they're not talking about narrative feature films. But even still, to call that out in that way just felt really kind of strange while watching it this time, especially since they're both really great in the movie. However frustrating the characters are, the actresses are not. They have these characters pretty pegged, and they deliver two of, I think, their best performances in this movie. But neither of them are giving the best performance in the movie, which, as nearly in every movie he's in, it's Mark Ruffalo, who is just...
Contain yourself, sir.
Look, he is the world's nicest fuckboy, but he is still a fuckboy, and I still absolutely would. This is the sexiest he has ever been in a movie, and I kind of love it. What really speaks to me most about this movie is the sense of naturalism from all of the performances. These really feel like real people who are seeing reacting to things in the moment in all the messiness that that usually entails. And I don't think that that always makes for the most narratively pleasing outcomes, but it does mean that it kind of does feel like a slice of life, a lot more so than most movies do. And I do think it still has value, even if I'm not quite as high on it now as I was back in 2010.
Okay. All right. Pretty much the answer I expected to hear. Let's go over to our guest, though. See what he thinks. Jack, what did you think of The Kids Are All Right?
Yeah. I have a very personal connection to this film. I believe I saw it for the first time in 2012. I was not old enough to have seen it when it first came out in theaters. But I went back and I watched it because I was a huge Hunger Games fan, and I think Josh Hutcherson might have been the first male crush I had when he was in the Hunger Games films. So I had gone back and I had watched a lot of his earlier movies, and this one really stayed with me. I'm adopted, and I don't know my biological parents, nor do I really have that desire to, but I do have siblings that I am biologically related to that I was not raised with. And about a year after I watched this movie, I actually made a connection to them via Facebook, and we've been kind of in off and on contact ever since. And so I really relate to the sense of discovering where you came from, discovering what makes you you, that a lot of the two kids, Josh Hutcherson and Mia's characters, go through specifically in the first act of this movie, found that really a truthful portrayal of what that sense is like. I really saw myself in those characters because I was actually just about a year younger than what Josh Hutcherson's character is playing. And so when they go to meet Mark Ruffalo for the first time, that sense of anxiety about who is this person going to be, and also that sense of walking away from it as Josh Hutcherson's character does and kind of not having your expectations met. That was something that I really related to with my siblings and whatnot. So this film really does have a very big spot in my heart, even if it isn't perfect. As you said, Matt, it is also one of the first films that I, as a closeted teenager, saw that had prominent gay characters in it where the queerness of their characters was not a main focal point. It was something that really resonated with me. And watching it again all these years later, I do agree it is a little bit dated, and they're casting Annette Bening and Julianne Moore's. They're casting, I would hope that if this were made today, we would have two out lesbian actresses playing this role. But that being said, I still really found myself all the way back to when I first watched this film and really just resonating specifically with the two children in the film and really resonating with their journey in the film. So it's not perfect, but I really do like it all these years later still.
Okay. All right. And thank you for sharing that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really appreciate that. Josh, how about yourself?
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do, too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just two visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, just two, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24.
So I remember back in 2010, first seeing this movie and just being in love with it. It was absolutely one of my favorites of the year. It was on my top 10. I thought it was just this really great examination of these characters and in a setting that, yeah, in the context of 2010, really hadn't been showcased to a mainstream audience before. And it felt really fresh and exciting to get that and to also get all of these really great performances. And I just adored the movie. But it is a movie I have not seen since it came out. It's been a very, very long time. And I have to admit, a part of that, it was a little bit of fear, because this is definitely one of those movies where you kind of wonder how it holds up and if it still feels as relevant as it did back then. And finally coming back to it after all that time, I do have to admit that my feelings on it have cooled dramatically. I do think that there are still a lot of really good things about this movie. I do like the characters for the most part. I do really still like these performances, but it is definitely a movie that, as Dan said, is very 2010. And I think what I really noticed this go around is that I can understand why this did very well during the time it came out and during the award season, because I think some of its examinations that it chooses to look at are kind of delivered rather broadly. And you know that I have a little bit of a resistance to that when it comes to storytelling. I do think this movie lacks a little bit of nuance in terms of what these characters are going through. I think in some parts it does get to some complexities. I do appreciate that. But I think in particularly with the Jules character, like, there's a big word that they the movie just refuses to say, and I don't know why. It just come out and say bisexual.
Thank you. Thank you.
So many things about this movie would be, at least we would get to the cause root of it if the movie just said that word, and it doesn't. And it feels, it feels very 2010.
There is a place in the script where she could have said it and pointedly does not.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff like that in this film where I feel as if it does not use the tools necessary to make this a richer, more complex character study. And I did find that to be very, very frustrating this go around. But as I said, I still like these performances. I still like the general kind of environment that they're examining. And I do appreciate, and you know, as I said, given the context of when this movie came out in, I do take that into account. It's not as strong as I thought it was, for sure, but it's not a terrible movie. I would still lean positive on it given all of those faults that I do find within it, but it is definitely not a movie that I think has aged well in terms of its characterization, even though there are good elements that I can appreciate within it still.
So I remember seeing this with my sister and my two parents in the theater. And I remember thinking to myself, my parents probably think this is a different movie than what they're walking into. I, of course, knew what kind of movie it was because I had been following this since its premiere at Sundance. And I had read, you know, reviews on it and seen people talking about it. But I don't think my parents knew exactly what they were getting themselves into when they watched this movie. And what I mean by that is not so much the content of, oh, lesbians, like, I don't think that that was the turnoff for them. This was just not their kind of a movie in general. It was the kind of thing where it just lacked excitement for them. They didn't like how it resolved itself by the end. They felt like nothing really happened. And so when I got out of this movie in 2010, I liked it. And I was like, oh, those were great performances. And I was like kind of buzzing. And then I remember the car ride home and my parents just being like, well, that was terrible. Oh, so that has just always stayed with me. Since 2010, and I have never gone back and rewatched this film since then. So in revisiting it for this retrospective, I've kind of always had this feeling in my mind of, oh God, as I get older, am I too going to look at this movie and not appreciate it as much as I did when I was 20 years old? And the answer is yes, but for different reasons. And they're pretty much the same reasons that you all laid out here. I do think that it plays itself way too broadly. I agree with what Dan said in the intro, too. This could be about a straight couple, and nothing would change. Like, and yet Josh is right, too, but that was also part of the appeal in 2010. And kind of like what I was saying earlier, too, that in a way helped, I think, mainstream media to ease into being more accepting of gay stories in a way that now we see television shows being made about them, and like it's everywhere, you know. So it wasn't like such a it's not such a rarity as it felt like it was back in 2010, especially on this level. Like I said, I do agree that, you know, casting aside, the performances are still good from everybody across the board in this movie, even the kids. And I do think that this movie is getting at something many, many times that is actually really interesting. Very, very interesting. There are so many times where I feel like the script is so, so close to unearthing something with the level of thematic complexity, but then it just doesn't choose to confront it and actually go there with it. And it ends up becoming more frustrating for me in the end. And I have to say, all these years later, I do agree with one criticism that my parents said that I remembered back in 2010 that I agree with today. I think this movie resolves itself way too neatly for such a messy situation that it causes. So in a way, I think this movie lacks a bit of grit to follow through with its own premise that it has set up here. I know that this is like taken from elements of Lisa's life. I understand that personal aspect to it, and I do get that, but at the same time, I think that's why I give it a pass for the criticism of this could be about a gay male couple. This could be about a straight couple. Like, why does it have to be lesbians when it's not even technically a factor of the plot of the movie so much? But if she's drawn from her own personal life in that regard, then it's like, who are we to say, right? So I give a little bit of leeway there. But overall, I think it's a fine film. I don't think it's a great movie, especially by the standards and other stories that we've seen from today.
Yeah, I mean, that ending, yeah, I had my note that I took was like, it's a sitcom ending. Like, it really felt like a storyline that we would have gotten to where there's a little bit of conflict, but then at the end, everything is kind of resolved. And it's like, I want some messiness here. Like, I can be left with a note of optimism. I'm totally fine with that. But, you know, these people's lives are drastically altered from where they were before. And it does feel a little bit like everything has been somewhat reset. And I found that to be, just within the realms of the story that they were telling, to be pretty inauthentic. I did not really think that where those characters ended up at the very end of this movie made much sense to me.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our review of the 2010 film The Kids Are All Right here on the Next Best Picture podcast. In order to get the nearly 2 hour long review, you will have to head on over to Next Best Picture's Patreon, where for $1 minimum a month, you'll get the rest of this review and other exclusive podcast content from us as well. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.